Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our free access to it. Help us to understand this morning and to go away ready to obey you. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Forgive me sitting down, although I don't think it makes a lot of difference because I'm not that tall anyway, really. But it just means I won't keel over. Well, I hope not anyway. But have we got any Father Ted fans here? One. Gosh. Two admitting to it, right? I still it's on all the time, isn't it? It's repeated, Father Ted. You wouldn't know because you don't know. You don't watch it. But it's about a morally dubious Roman Catholic priest exiled to Craggy Island, a small island off the coast of Galway in Ireland. And the shock to me is that it's 37 years since the actor who played Father Ted died. For 37 years, and we're still watching him. He being dead yet speaketh. But the show had a great cast of characters. One of my favourites was Mrs. Doyle. Ah, some nods now about Mrs. Doyle. She was the housekeeper. She makes tea on a very regular basis and takes great pride in it. She's willing to go to severe lengths to serve it, even going as far as to stay up all night in case one of the clergy want a cup. In a classic scene, she offers a cup of tea to someone who refuses it. You'll have some tea. Are you sure you don't want any? Oh, go on, you'll have some tea. Go on, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on! Well, there's a bit of that in this parable, I think, actually. But most parables start with a story and then explain it. This one is different. Luke, who is the one telling the story to us, Luke starts by telling his readers what the point of the parable was, and then he tells them what Jesus actually said. So verse 1, he says, Jesus told the disciples in a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. You've got it all there. You can go home now, can't you? That says it all, really. You should always pray and not give up. So the main point is that, one, we should pray, and two, we should give up. This is getting very complicated, isn't it? The first point is relatively easy. We should pray. The second gets harder the longer that things go on. Prayer can seem easy at first. We have the best intentions. We may tell someone that we'll pray for them and start off doing that. Sometimes, perhaps often even, the issue is resolved quickly and we stop praying about it. But sometimes it isn't. Weeks, months, even years later, the problem is still there and our interest may fade. Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022, and there was an instant response from lots of Christians. I was part of a group which met twice a week online to pray for Ukraine. Gradually over the years, it's not that we've forgotten about it, it's not that we don't pray about Ukraine, we do, we often mention it here, but it's not the same as it was. The impetus has gone in some ways, because we don't really know how long it's going to go on for. That's an incentive to keep praying, isn't it? Not to give up. So according to the Old Testament law, judges were to fear God and therefore defend the oppressed. But this judge, verse 2, neither feared God nor cared what people thought. A widow kept coming to this judge, pleading for justice. Widows were the ultimate example of oppressed people. They had no means of support. This one could certainly not afford a bribe, which is possibly what the judge wanted. Eventually, the judge said to himself, This is in verse 5. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. This is where the NIV and most other translations go a little bit soft, because the literal meaning of that verse is she may come and give him a black eye. So what does that mean for us today? Three simple but difficult points. First of all, we must pray. Now, do you need me to tell you that? We must pray. We know that, don't we? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. And I don't think he meant that our lips should be moving continually. I don't think he meant that we should be reading from a book continually. What I think he meant was that we should have a continual attitude of prayerfulness, that we're continually conscious of being in God's presence and bringing these needs to him. Pray continually. But we must keep praying even when we don't see the outcome that we want, as in Ukraine. A nice example for me is my grandparents. My grandparents were Christians, and they had four boys. And my dad was the youngest of them. And he was the only one who went on in the Christian faith, as far as I knew. And they died, and when they died, as far as they knew, he was the only one. But a few years ago, I was talking to one of my cousins, and I said something about her. My cousin is a Christian, and I said something to her about her dad. And she said, well, actually, I led my dad to the Lord a few years before he died. None of us knew that. We didn't know that. Something had been going on. And another brother, who had had no apparent interest in church or anything, towards the end of his life, he was borrowing books from my dad, Christian books, and he was reading them. And who knows what was going on in his heart when he died. Thankfully, it's the Lord who knows the outcome of these things, isn't it? We don't have to know the outcome. So we must keep praying, even when we don't see the outcome that we want. And finally, we must keep on praying, because God is faithful. If an indifferent judge can be worn down, how much more can we rely on the God who loves us? The New Bible Dictionary says, the really vital question is not whether God will respond to prayer, but whether there will be faithful people who have persisted in prayer and not lost hope when the Son of Man comes. Amen.